This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Radioactive Magazine. I'm your host, Mike Nichols. And I am happy to have in the studio with me today two board members from PeaceWorks. The first one is Jim Hanna.
Thanks for the invite to come on board here.
No problem. And the other one is Georgia Walker.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, cool. Glad to have you. And so today's show, we're talking about PeaceWorks has been very busy in the Kansas City area for years and just doing, everything anti-violence, anti-nuclear weapons, anti-drones, all sorts of stuff. Last year they did a petition and actually did a ballot measure that made it into the ballots last year, question three. I'm sure a lot of you remember that. And just recently we've had the annual Hiroshima and Nagasaki remembrance. That was just this past weekend, correct?
Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then you also had a... what happened at All Souls, at the All Souls Church?
Well, they invited us to come and share in a Hiroshima commemorative, and so we had a wide variety of activities that kind of tried to draw attention to a remembrance of that, which happened 69 years ago, and trying to say, hey, never again.
Right, right. And then the big thing that's coming up is you're doing a dedication to the new nuclear weapons parts plant over on Botts Road. That'll be this August 22nd.
Yes, we really want to encourage everyone to come out. It seems to be an event to dedicate this facility, which was built courtesy of the city of Kansas City issuing revenue bonds. And they seem to have decided that their dedication will be by invitation only, and they have not really made it very publicly known that this dedication is going to take place. And we believe that it's going to take place on Friday morning, August 22nd. And we're asking folks to come on out with us and to this dedication. However, we're doing a dedication, D-E-A-D, dedication to death, because we believe that everything nuclear can only lead to death. And so we're going to be there with our black armbands on, our coffin, and a few other things, a few other surprises. And we're hoping to get as many people as possible out there to display our displeasure with being the only city in the entire world that facilitated and helped finance the construction of a plant to build the parts for new atomic weapons and to upgrade the existing weapons. And it's quite a remarkable to be the only city in the world to have this distinction, and we're displeased, and we're hoping to attract other people who are displeased and will come out and join us.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what this, we talk about it being a nuclear weapons parts plant. So it's not building the actual nuclear components. I've heard it described as like, this weapons parts plant builds the gun, and then it gets shipped off for someone to put the bullet in. is that correct? Or is something like 75% or 85% of the parts are built here for the 80, nuclear weapons?
85% of the parts, you know, that go into the actual bomb itself, and then the actual radioactive material is inserted at a different location. But Kansas City, the Kansas City plant produces 85% of the parts.
And what's interesting to me and kind of fascinating is that this has been happening in Kansas City for 65 years. Like the old Federal Bannister plant has been in operation for 65 years. Now they're closing it and moving to this new facility. But if you, it seems like if you just ask people on the street, you know, about that, it's like news. You know, oh my gosh, really? We're building 85% of the nuclear weapons in the, our arsenal, or 85% of the parts for those are already being built right here in Kansas City. Like, so it's an amazing thing. How unaware we are of what's really happening with our tax dollars.
Right, and how they hide it. I mean, for researching for the show, I was scouring the web for the dedication, you know, to kind of find out a time, when it was going to happen, who was going to be there. And I couldn't find out anything about, you know, the official dedication that was being done for the weapon parts plant. And, I mean, they just keep it, I believe from talking to you guys before the show, you said that it's, the dedication's actually invitation only.
Well, it must be. Like you say, I've done the same search on the website trying to find out when it is, and so it's not apparently a public occasion. So that's why we decided to have our own little y'all come dedication.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we're starting a little bit earlier. We're starting at 9 a.m. Friday, August 22nd, and would invite people to come out if they're concerned about this issue and kind of make that concern known. Not to get arrested, like there's a way that we can be present there and we can express our opinions and so forth without fear of being arrested. Some people will choose to get arrested, but or cross the line with the possibility of being arrested.
Right. And is there anywhere that someone can go to find more information? Is there a website that has information about this up? Or?
Yes, the PeaceWorks website has information about what we have planned and why we're doing what we're doing. It's all on our website.
Yeah, peaceworkskc.org.
Okay. And and this is the new plant over on Botts Road, and they'll have information and directions on how to get there.
Yes, correct.
Because they always put these. I've been out there for other protests out there, and it's kind of way off, you know, away from everything else, you know, kind of out of the way. I don't think I'd ever been on Botts Road before.
A few years ago, it was a bean field, and then in the process of all this taking place, then that was declared as a polluted site, and so therefore they were, you know, got some help. And
actually, the bean field got declared blighted
right.
land, so they can get a better.
So from our point of view, it's now
very, you know, blighted.
Right. Well, it's amazing that they can keep it so hush hush, because this is maybe the biggest construction project in Kansas City for years. Like, this is a bigger construction project than the, you know, the Kauffman Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, it's my understanding, as a matter of fact, that the main building which you enter into is as big or bigger than the Kauffman Performing Arts Center, and then the production plant is actually about the size of 13 football fields. So it's hard to comprehend how massive it is. On August 6th, we were out there, a group of us, for the Hiroshima commemorative, and at that point, we were there for almost 2 hours, and during that time, there's almost a solid traffic of, solid line of traffic coming out onto Botts Road from the plant. I mean, it's hard to comprehend how much money is being spent there, how many people are working there, over 2,000 people.
Right. And this is just the first building or two? Like, there's supposed to be more buildings that will be going up later on?
This is... Kansas City plant is one of five major plants in the country that has some function in the overall weapons program, nuclear weapons program. The idea was to upgrade all of the facilities, and they started with the Kansas City plant. Other plants are online to begin in other cities where these four are.
Okay.
There are actually six buildings out at this complex here in Kansas City, and they plan to do some other kinds of engineering work there at that site. There's big plans that Honeywell has to do various endeavors there.
I think the dedication is commemorating the fact that they actually have completed the construction and are moving, have moved from the old plant to the new plant, because they, online I did find information saying that, that it was a massive move and it involved 30,000 shipping crates, and if you were to stack those shipping crates on top of each other, it'd be five times the height of Mount Everest. That's by...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that just gives you some idea of how huge this is. Yes.
Right, right.
It was a huge move, and they did it on time, they said, and under budget. So I guess that's what they're that's part of what they're celebrating, that they did this massive feat.
Okay. And so what are they doing with the old weapon parts plant?
Well, that's the problem also that we're concerned with, because it is... really a toxic waste site. It has over 800 toxic chemicals have been identified in the ground and now down into the water, underground water flow. So there are plumes of toxins that are floating around under that. And then as well, all of the buildings have to be raised, and the buildings themselves are also contaminated, so we're worried about what's going to be released into the air, what's going to, you know, blow in the wind as they're raising these buildings. There is a contamination that has been documented in the two rivers, small rivers that are on the north and the east side of the acreage. There are wells that were drilled into the ground and filled with toxic chemicals. So this is a pretty hot site. Originally, the federal government was going to be responsible for doing the remediation of this site. They were going to actually take care of all of this contamination, kind of like a Superfund site, and they were going to dig, as I understand it, estimated that they would have to dig down 50 feet and take all of the dirt and everything from 50 feet down all the way up and remove it and take it to a place where these contaminants would be out of populated areas. I don't know where that would be. But anyway, the... federal government was originally thinking that that would cost close to $1 billion to do that endeavor. Somehow, over the last few years, the federal government decided to actually turn this over, this acreage and this plant, over to a private entity, which is going to be responsible for cleaning it up. And the federal government is going to give that land to this private entity and $135 million, and they're going to make it all clean.
So less than 20% of what they originally estimated?
That's correct.
And they're leaving it to a private enterprise?
That's correct. And... supposedly, this private enterprise is supposed to make all of their plans, issue all of their plans, and to the state of Missouri, and the state of Missouri, and ultimately the governor has to sign off on that. And so we're watching carefully to watch for whenever we can see public documents going from this private enterprise to the state government because we want to encourage the governor not to accept a plan for cleaning this up that will leave a legacy of contamination for decades.
Right. And we're talking about the Bannister Federal Complex, which if you've been there, I mean, it's right in residential area. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the, you see the 100-year flood wall, mm-hmm. and then there's a road, and on the other side of the road, that's houses. That's people's lives living there, you know, children, the whole nine yards, just right on top of it.
These chemicals are not just small items. They've caused, over the years, many documented deaths and many documented diseases that people are still suffering with. People who worked at this plant have actually been harmed by working with the materials that they've worked with over these last 65 years. So, I mean, these are not simple little compounds that are going to easily be disposed of. It's going to take some real expertise. And by putting it in the hands of a private enterprise that is obviously going to do something that will still give them a profit and not make it as well known or transparent to the public, we're concerned. We're concerned with that, and we feel like the federal government has deeper pockets to do the absolute right thing, and that's what we'd like to see happen.
Okay. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio, and this is Radioactive Magazine. We have two board members from the Peaceworks organization, and we're talking about the upcoming dedication of the new nuclear weapon parts plant out on Botts Road, and what's happening with the old Bannister Federal Complex. So, Jim, I've heard you're going to be out there and you're going to cross the line at the new weapon parts plant at the dedication.
Yeah, I feel a real sense of responsibility to try to act responsibly. And when we had the groundbreaking ceremony for this plant several years ago, I crossed the line at that time and was arrested. And arrested again sort of midway when we were spending about $1 million a day on the project. And I plan to cross the line again on August 22nd. And the reason I feel so strongly about that is I do feel that we're coming to some kind of a tipping point about this. I keep thinking about 7 years ago in the Wall Street Journal, there's a full-page ad by the architects of our Cold War nuclear policy. That's Kissinger and Nunn and Shultz and so forth. And they said that even though they once thought that deterrence was the viable way to go, that time is past. That now there are so many nuclear weapons in so many places, there are about 20,000 nuclear weapons around the world, approximately. And they feel like at some point, those weapons are inevitably going to get into the hands of either rogue individuals or rogue nations, in which case there's really no reasonable reply. How are you going to have a nuclear exchange, you know, that would punish people who did it if you don't know who did it, you know? And so these people are hard-headed realists. These are not like dewy-eyed optimists or something. These are realists, and these realists were saying this is the circumstance in which we are now, that these things are no longer in their interest for our national security. They actually are contributing to global insecurity, and they really need to be eliminated. That's really the only course for the human race to survive. If we don't do away with them, they're going to do away with us. And when those people said it, and then when practically all the living secretaries of defense and secretaries of state signed on to their, you know, zero nuke initiative,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking, wow, I mean,
something's going to happen.
That's a wake-up call here, folks.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, so these aren't people who are just like idealists or impractical people. Mm-hmm. These are hard-headed realists, And if they're saying that, I think we need to be listening.
Right. I mean, I've heard talked about, you know, during the Cold War, you had the, did they call it the MAD doctrine or the...
Yeah, mutually assured destruction.
Right.
Madness. That's how we did our foreign policy for decades.
Right. But now you get into groups and terrorist groups and people who are willing to do, like, suicide bombings and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like mutual assured destruction. That's not a deterrent anymore. So now at a time where it seems like you don't really hear that much about nuclear weapons anymore.
Yeah.
It might be the most dangerous time for nuclear weapons, you know, considering how things are going in the world and all these new groups and the getting away from nations versus nations. And anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, President Obama said exactly that thing, that it's the fear of, you know, not necessarily... you know, who you consider your traditional enemies, but, you know, just people you can't even identify at this point having nuclear weapons. And the only way to really address that realistically in the long run is to eliminate them, for no one to have them. Not just for kind of have nuclear apartheid and you have a nuclear club and there's the ins and the outs and some have them, some don't. The only ultimate way to resolve that dilemma is to eliminate them. So I keep thinking about the old fable about the emperor's new clothes. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but the idea was that some people came along, convinced the king they were going to spin some clothing so fine that only people of nobility and wisdom would be able to see it and so forth. And the king, you know, took all a huge fortune and spent it on it and so forth. And then one day when he's out parading his finery, because the king least of all was going to acknowledge that he saw through the whole plan. So
right.
He's out parading his finery, and a little boy says, "Hey, the emperor has no clothes." And I kind of feel like that's a fable for our time. I feel like we've invested an incredible, over a trillion, well, since we started the Manhattan Project, the United States has spent $7 trillion. I mean, that's an inconceivable amount of dollars on the nuclear program. And I keep thinking, well, if we'd spent even a significant portion of $7 trillion and talked about how can we establish peace, how can we have reconciliation, how can we do better diplomacy and so forth.
There's so many things that money could, you know, solve hunger in the United States.
I think the king has no clothes. And ultimately, I mean, I think I hope within my lifetime. But as Richard Rhodes said, he's a Kansas City native that wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning book about the making of the atomic bomb. And his latest book, he says that he thinks, hopefully within his lifetime, and probably in his children's lifetime, and most certainly in his grandchildren's lifetime, that we will eliminate weapons of mass destruction.
Unless we blow ourselves up.
Yeah, that's right. That's
in the meantime.
That's the what if.
That's the scary thing. There have been so many nuclear close calls that's what really scares me. We've had actual bombs dropped out of planes by accident because the planes crashed. We've had most recently we've had Air Force personnel who have been relieved of their commands because they're not following the procedures for security on the silos where there are missiles that are loaded with warheads.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the whole scandal of military officers getting so bored with their jobs that they've been cheating on examinations and have been relieved of their command. And, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking to think about that's who we've got handling these atomic weapons. And the scary thing is that the United States and Russia still have all of their nuclear weapons on high alert, which means that if by accident either we or they release the weapons and the other one responds, within 30 minutes, both Russia and the United States will be totally obliterated, and therefore the world.
Right. And anybody who survives the initial blast, you have the nuclear winter to try to survive and all the radiation poisoning.
Right, exactly. And so I've been interested in hearing Jim talk about, well, what is the average person, what's the average person's response to this, situation that we're in?
I found that in my own life that there came down to basically three options. The first one is denial, just to say, well, nukes are safe, it can't be that bad, they know what they're doing, that sort of thing, just kind of pushing it away. And the second option that struck me was despair, which you just give in. You say, well, we're doomed anyway, so you know, so you just kind of do the psychic numbing thing. You just kind of try not to think about it.
I can do
entertain
it.
Yourself or don't go there, that sort of thing. And both of those options are so energy draining. It's just incredible. Like all the energy psychically you use to push away the truth or just downward spiral into inactivity and all that is very draining. The third thing that I finally came to is the idea that you can have defiance. Somebody's got to finally see the truth and say, hey, the emperor has no clothes. No more madness. No more mutually assured destruction. And so for me, that's been life-giving and life-affirming to say, I'm not going to go to those other two states of denial and despair. That you can actually, in defiance, you can say, you know, I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can come out to that plant and I can stand there peacefully. That's our constitutional right. And express my concern about how we're spending our, you know, at that plant in its lifetime, it's estimated that we will invest $6 billion in that plant.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of all adds up, you know. So you're
right.
Thinking, what if we spent $6 billion on humanitarian efforts? Same way I think about, like, some of the wars we've gotten into lately. If we spent that amount of money, $1 trillion in Iraq, if we had spent even a significant portion of that trying to find some peaceable solutions and actually helping the humanitarian needs of those nations, how much better off we'd be.
All right. And, okay, so for the people who want to, you know, show their defiance and not ignore this problem, tell us again the upcoming event and how they can get involved.
Well, it's the 22nd, which is Friday, and we're gathering together at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11, and all you have to do is come out, and if you want to make a sign and bring it along, you can. If you don't want to make a sign, we'll have plenty of signs for people to hold. You don't have to cross the line. You don't have to get arrested. You can just be there and show your concern with what's going on in our name with our tax dollars. And the idea is this has to be a worldwide movement that we're joining. And there are many, many countries in the world that have passed resolutions, who have begged, have sued, have tried to get the nuclear nations to disassemble their nuclear arsenals because they recognize that the whole world is being held hostage by these weapons. And we've got to take a stand. If you're silent, if you're unwilling to take a stand, if you're unwilling to take a risk to stand up, and say no more in my name, then you are in fact complicit. You are giving your voice to be supporting this madness. So we're encouraging. It's a very liberating feeling just to be out with other members of your community singing songs. We don't do any damage. We're not violent. We're singing songs and laughing, but we're showing that we're concerned enough to take out a couple hours of our time to send the message to our city leaders, to our government leaders, our state leaders, and our federal leaders that this is enough.
Right. Okay, well, we're out of time. Thank you both for coming on the show. And if you want to find out more information about this event that or this action that's coming on, this is August 22nd at the Nuclear Weapons Parts Plant on Botts Road. You could go to the PeaceWorks website. That's PeaceWorksKC.org, and you can find out all the information that you need there. And thank you both again for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. Coming up next is Counterspin.